Three, two, one.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. My name is Dan, and this is Hippo, and we are doing the Objectively Good Takes podcast, our second one, or preview for the week two Sunday slate, and then Monday as well, and then a little bit of recapping on Thursday night. So I guess we'll start there. I guess that's the most appropriate place to begin, is looking back on the Bills-Miami game, and kind of the ripple effects that are really created from this game. And unfortunately, it's due to an injury, but I think we should kind of talk about what that injury implies and how Miami can go forward with this. So, Hippo, what are your first thoughts when you saw the injury happen and you were thinking it all?
It was the Thursday night massacre, Dan. I was pretty bummed out after the game, not just the two of injury, but it was one of the bigger miscalculations I had on a game going in. There was a lot of turnover luck, and whenever that happens, it's not gonna go your favor. And it's, turnovers really weren't even on Tua entirely. It was the chemistry and him not throwing to Tyreek or Jalen Waddle, which are probably the only two guys you should be throwing to unless Devon Achane gets in there. But also their offensive line had two pretty big hits. They lost Robert Jones first, their left guard, and then Tron Armstead was getting checked out for his shoulder, and then he came out. He was in and out, and I think he just finally dipped out after the Tua injury. Yeah, that's not good news for Miami. Tua, I unfortunately think he's going to come back at some point this year, even though I would tell him to hang it up and tell him football's not in his cards anymore. But that's up to him. He's a grown man, so we'll see what happens there. He'll probably have a little IR stint. Miss a month, six games maybe, and then make his choice. But yeah, I don't like what's happened in Miami, because in addition to their quarterback, their lines are falling apart, and Buffalo really killed them on the lines. They killed them in the turnover battle, and they ran the ball down their throat. So I mean, Buffalo, kudos to you. I might have to start taking you more seriously. I just have to see you play a formidable opponent first.
So, and one thing that I remember you talking about last time was the keys to the Bills actually winning this game was running the crap out of the ball. And kudos to you. You nailed it. That was exactly their game plan. They were like, let's feed James Cook 1,000 times. So did you see James? Did he impress you at all? Or was it just like he fell into the right place?
His outside running was pretty impressive. I mean, in between the tackles, they really didn't get as much, him or Ray Davis. I was hoping Ray Davis would look a little bit better on the touches, especially when he started getting blowout touches, but he didn't amount to too much there. James Cook, he's just stepping into his own. He's taking that next step to a perennial, just a little bit of a superstar. Not really there, but a star running back, kind of like his big brother, which, I mean, we shouldn't be totally, you know, aw shuck about, because it's in the DNA, basically. And Buffalo's offensive line is actually pretty damn good. They just lost their center, but outside of that, the four other starting O-linemen are pretty damn solid, especially Deion Dawkins, their left tackle there. And then you have, who's that right tackle there? That's Spencer Brown. He's a beast. So those two tackles bookend it. And then you go to Allen had to do basically nothing because Cook dominated the ground, so it's just, I like Cook more and more as the year goes on. I just hope he stays healthy, because he's a little smaller, but.
Right, no, and I agree with you. And neither of us were totally buying in on Cook last year, but idea is he's actually improved. And it's good to see back-to-back performances. And he got a lot of goal line work in this one, which was something that was a knock on him previously. So the fact that he, like, I loved the play call. Like, he just, that play call into the Fangio defense there, where you had that the cornerback blitz and you just nailed the exact call with Cook releasing immediately into the flat for the DD. That was sick. That was just like, oh yeah, this was tailor made. We knew exactly what was going to happen. I love that. I think Bills going forward, I hard to not take them seriously. I think their defense played admirably. They didn't really have to do a ton. The fact that two of the picks were kind of ridiculous picks that weren't really Tua's fault, but the third one was absolutely horrendous, not getting it out as far as he could. I think those are those are gimmies. So I don't know if the Bills D is going to stand up, and as you said, to formidable opponents, but we'll definitely see going forward.
Yeah, they also lost their second and final linebacker. He only has a strained pec. At first, I thought he tore his pec, so I was pretty worried there. But he could only miss 4 games. So I mean, still 4 games, but we'll see what happens with the. I mean, they keep on losing guys on the defensive front, but as I was saying yesterday when you weren't here, and a podcast will never be released, it's kind of the year of the D-line and that defensive front. We saw Ed Oliver take over a game, but just every single game that has been going on since the beginning of the year, we saw Chris Jones on opening night, followed by Jalen Carter the night after, then T.J. Watt kind of did his own thing, then T'Vondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons in Chicago gave a nice warm welcome, and then we saw Ed Oliver last night. So defensive linemen are really dominating the year to start with, and they're really disrupting game plans. So Ed Oliver is a guy we have to actually look at, because he's a star right now, I think.
Yeah, and this is his, I want to say, third year, if I'm not mistaken.
Third or fourth year, yeah. He's about that time. Like, I know the league by now. I'm ready to show everybody my colors.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's gotten enough reps under his belt so that he'll be able to actually hit. Not hit per se. He hits everyone, but hit as in like actually do the damage that he's supposed to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good call of that. And yeah, defensive ends in particular have really like done a number. Like I was talking about Gray Jarrett before too. Like there's so many. Adrian Hutchinson did well. Like there's just a lot that are really coming into their prime, which is interesting. Good to hear at least. Mm-hmm. Okay, is there anything else you want to touch on this game, or shall we go to the Sunday slate?
Yeah, so Buffalo was playing a lot of cover two high on Miami, which is why Achan's getting so much love. So when you do cover two high, you got the two safeties playing really far back, and you got five underneath playing like a little sink coverage, basically, and that really gives your running back a lot of opportunity. Cover two breaker is throw it to your running backs, that's what they say. And if that's what's going to happen going forward, which that's pretty much how defenses play Miami nowadays. I really like Achan and his receiving work this year. He just looks like a complete star. The thing with him, too, these running backs with the workload they're getting, we want them to stay healthy as the year gets going and it gets a little bit colder, because they aren't big backs like we grew up looking at. They aren't over 200 pounds each. They're probably borderline 200 pounds. And he had 28 touches coming into this game, and he was questionable. So Devon Achan, superstar.
Yeah, calling it already, and it's so impressive. Like, yeah. I know over the offseason, we were like, I'm not entirely sure. I'm not sure if we have to buy into it. Like, this could be the thing, but it looks like Mike McDaniels has just completely bought in and said, yeah, this is my guy going forward, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. I love seeing that. I just don't know if Skylar Thompson is the player to aid Achan going forward. Or
Tannehill. Audit checkdowns if you're in PPR. He could just be a maestro there.
Fair enough, right? And, like, I wonder if coverages are going to change, too, because they're like, Skylar Thompson is going to be able to get this deep ball out, and, like, who cares? We're not sure. Like, is it going to be a lot of what I say, for example, like how Zay Jones was utilized for the Chiefs-Baltimore game? Is it going to be like, all right, Tyreek Hill, wide receiver screens, like, we're trying to make quick hitting throws and, like, take it out of the QB's hands as fast as possible?
Yeah, Tyreek's probably going to get a lot of screens, a lot of jet sweeps too, which is something I'm surprised they weren't utilizing Tyreek as much as I thought they could have. I know the coverage is probably taking him away, but you can incorporate him, especially McDaniels, into the offense with, and I mean, any way you want to. That was the only thing I was a little shocked about. But yeah, it's whatever. It's one game. Go on to the next one.
Yeah, and we'll see them next week. All right. Let's hop into the Sunday slate. We're going to hit on everything. We're going to do a little bit of at least every game going through, because that's the fun of it. And then afterwards, we're going to talk about the parlays and Hippo's bets of the week. The teaser. So again, last week for the teaser parlay, it was 5 out of 6. So do, if you want to play singles, it's 6 out of 7, excuse me. But yes, 6 out of 7. I apologize. You hit that too. So just be mindful about all of that if you want to play singles or parlay or tail or anything like that. It's all for fun anyway. Bet responsibly. All right.
So we're starting not sponsored yet. Bet your house away. Be a fair real enough. Gambler.
Be the degenerate you want to be.
Bet until Enable. It says insufficient funds.
All right, here at the top here, we have the Raiders going to the Ravens, and this over-under is set at 41, and right now the Ravens are -8 on the line. Hippo, what's your first thought for this game?
First thought, everybody at my work's telling me Baltimore's going to kill them. I was just talking about defensive line play, Dan. We got one. Max Crosby. Chris Jones just dominated this offensive line. And it's the only thing I'm worried about this year by Baltimore is their offensive line and Max Crosby going up against it. It's in Baltimore, and I'm not sure they have anybody at linebacker who can spy Lamar. And as we saw last week, Lamar can go into superhero mode, take over a game with his legs. That being said, 8 points is a lot. I'm not touching this game. It's too many points at home. And the Raiders want to run the football and play good defense. The Ravens have a bad offensive line, and their linebacking core is a little shaken up. And I don't even know if Van Noy's playing, and he was already a weakness, I thought. So their backup might be even worse. 8 points is too much for me. I'm not touching this game. I'd like the under, if anything, but even that, I am not touching this game. But I think the Ravens end up pulling out a win here. Just Lamar at home. He's not going to say no.
I'm all for that. And you know, I'm going to root for Lamar at all times, but I agree. This is a trap game. I think the under is probably the best thing that hits, but I don't want to play anything along those lines. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for it.
Also nice to see the encore of what happens between Likely and Andrews, and then Brock Bowers on the other side. See if he can repeat his performance at 5 for 63 last week. So a little tight end action in that first game.
Yeah, it would be great to see. I'm especially looking at Likely and seeing if we're doing the double coverage thing. Like, do the Raiders look at what the Chiefs did, taking Andrews out of the game and basically isolating him and doing double coverage or what have you, and then forcing him to play the other way and, like, seeing if Likely steps up to the plate yet again? Like, is that something that is now a continuous outlet? And if it is, that's awesome. And waiver wire value right there.
Absolutely. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. That's what I'm going to star that game and look at that. So
the one thing, and I'm doing this because of my own fantasy reasons. I want to see, because a lot of the coach speak recently has been coach of the Raiders, Antonio Pierce, talking about how he's riding the hot hand on his running backs. And he essentially gave Madison almost all of the work to the back half of the previous game, including all the receiving work. And basically, Zamir White had a couple of, actually, I thought, like, decent runs within the third quarter of the last game, but he wasn't utilized otherwise. And around that fumble time, he was kind of faded pretty nicely. So I actually want to see how that breaks up between the two of them, if one of them is starting to move forward away from the other.
Yeah. I like Zamir White more, but I have ties to him back to his days at Georgia. He traded me nicely with that national championship. Madison had a baby last week. I don't know if that goes into let's get this guy some more touches because he's missing the birth of his baby.
That's a narrative.
It could be a split. It could be more of a split because, I mean, Madison is more of the receiving end. We saw it with his time in Minnesota. I still lean more Zamir. I think Zamir is a more talented running back. That's just a gut call.
No, that's fine. And I think both of them are like only maybe average or slightly above average runners at that. So I don't think either of them are like particularly desirable.
They probably won't separate from one another either.
Yeah. The only thing that I really want to see, and I want to see it, is King Henry to eat. I want him to eat in this game. I just want him to do well on the Ravens. So.
No, I feel you. And if he doesn't win this game, then start looking at the red flags.
Yeah, exactly. This is the ideal game.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Next one up is 49ers Vikings. This over under is set at 46.5, and we have -4.5 going to the 49ers. Mm. This is at Minnesota.
Yeah, the line started at 6, so it's going down. A lot of people are betting on Minnesota. What I've been seeing a lot this week is a lot of people going on one side, and the side that they're not betting against is the winning side. A lot of people are getting suckered into some bets here. I was saying that yesterday, we were talking about this game. San Francisco went into Minnesota last year on Monday night with McCaffrey injury, and he was out, and they ended up losing that game this time around. I think they want to go into Minnesota, and they have a little bit of wanting some revenge. They know Darnold because he's on their team last year, and their defense is playing a lot better than it was last year. I know it was only one game, but they were really flying around. They had to switch at defensive coordinator, somebody who was with D'Amico Ryans instead of having Steve Wilks there. It was Fred Warner's best game that I've seen since that year with him and D'Amico. I like the Niners' defense, and then on offense, I don't think the Vikings have just enough to stop them. I think the Vikings are underrated, though, but I'm going San Francisco here with the points. I like San Francisco a lot. They might be one of the best teams in the NFL, I think.
Yeah, and we wanted that confirmation within week one, and both of us came back just like, yeah, they may
we
be
got
like,
it.
Yep, they yeah. may be good again. That was that's all we really need little. To see. yeah, we may need to like tone down any sort of Brock Purdy hate or thinking that anything is wrong with this team. And,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, remind me, Williams came out towards the end of the Monday night game. Was there any sort of, did he come back in or was there any acknowledgement on that injury?
He was a big boy and they were playing a lot of snaps and they were running the ball. He was just getting a little too much work for, because he missed a lot of camp, so he's a little winded. He just went back to the locker room to get an IV there, saying a little dehydrated. He's a big boy.
Right. No, he's the ultimate big boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so I'm not worried about that then. And with the CMC news now coming out that he's going to IR, Jordan Mason played really well. I think that whole offense is just really well-rounded. It has an amazing play caller. Vikings did play like, their defense played very well against, in inept Giants offense last week. But still, I have
still
a feeling.
To note. They're right. Underrated for sure.
Right. I have a feeling this is actually probably going to be tighter than people may expect.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on my end, I'm not touching this game. That's my information.
Yeah, I think that's why the line's already switched a point and a half. People are on the Vikings because they do have a lot of talent if you look at the roster, especially they got a good O-line. Justin Jefferson, people think he could be the best receiver in football. If he's not the best, he's one of the top three. So, I mean, when you have talent like that, it's just hard. But I think the Niners are just loaded. They're literally loaded on each side of the football, even their special teams. I mean, Moody was shaky last year. He went 6-for-6 in field goals last week. So, I mean, they're the real deal. I was saying yesterday again, I have three teams in the NFC that I'm really looking at, and Niners are one of them.
Okay. All right, we can leave it there for later. To the next one. Let's we're going to the homers. We're coming to Foxborough, and we're looking at the Seahawks visiting the Patriots. This line is set over under at 38. It's minus 3 to the Seahawks. It's a field goal decided between these two teams.
Mm-hmm. This is a toughie. You want to go first here, Dan? This is a toughie.
Yeah. This is a toughie. And like the line being a 38, which I think is either the lowest or second lowest total, not line, but total. This is all pretty scary to me. But Seahawks played really well on defense last week. They stopped the run, which is like primarily the thing that I believe the Patriots want to do. They did a really good job at like bottling up Javonte Williams, even in like any sort of receptions out to the flat, making that distance off of that. That really didn't happen. And I think Javonte is a pretty competent back. I don't know. It looks like Ken Walker is going to get out. Maybe that's playing into this line. So with Ken out, it's Zach Charbonnet. But Charbonnet looks like fine. He looked decent. Maybe not like top end explosive like Ken, but he looked fine last week in his spot start after Ken went for the oblique injury. So I think the Patriots defense is probably underrated. Jerome Mayo is going to play up that defense, and Duggar had some plays, and I think he's going to do something similar this week. But I think the Seahawks offense are just like slightly more. So I think if I had to play this, I'd play the money line more than anything else. I'd just say Seahawks money line, but I wouldn't do anything else.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think this is a teaser game. This is a good game to tease because everything's just so bleh, so close to what you – they really know how to pick at your psyche here. You're looking at this. So Seattle played pretty good defense. They let up more points to Bo Nix than I wanted, 20 at home at Seattle. Now they have to travel across the country without their running back, who was their source of offense basically, because – I don't know about you, but Geno Smith, I do not trust you. I don't know if you are good. And Christian Gonzalez can do him against DK Metcalf or whoever he's going up against. JSN, I'm not too worried about. I mean, we even have Jonathan Jones to go on Tyler Lockett. I look at the Patriots in the points here. It's just where does the offense come from, which is more like, this is why I think this is a teaser game, because if I take the Patriots plus 9 and then do the under when that goes up to 44, I'm feeling a lot better. But at the 3 and the 38, it's enough to make me not want to touch this game. But my heart thinks Patriots with the points and the under is just, it's logical here. Mm-hmm. And these guys really are playing for Gerard Mayo, and they're playing at home. And I think they have the people are doubting us card going for them too. And the Seahawks offensive line isn't something that I think is totally up to snuff. Keon White, we saw, had 2.5 sacks. He plays on the opposite side from Charles Cross with you guys. Stone, how is Stone going to face up against Keon? I'm interested in this. And my gut tells me the points in the under here are the way to go. But again, I don't love this game to bet. So take it as it is. I think the Patriots win the game, which is crazy.
Yeah, which is absolutely crazy that we're in week 2 and we're thinking the Pats are going to win a football game, which is more power to the fact that they won last week and they actually played like, you know, we talked all about that. They played like decent. We don't want anyone to be injured, but when George Fant went down and Stone got to step in and said like have that starting snaps, I was my eyes were glued on him. The craziest thing was that they decided to just run like basically power and kick out right behind him. So they were running exclusively on the right hand side for like all of Ken's runs. So like he was kicking down so well and like following it into the second. So like everyone was getting washed down to the left and Ken was kicking out to the right. So much so that I had a Ken Walker plus 2 TDs bet going, and you know what happened? He got the second touchdown and it got called back because of a flag, and then they decided to throw it the other way. I was so
pissed. The flag on down.
I think it was holding, but on the opposite side. It was like holding on, I want to say the left tackle had a hold. Like it was away from the play, which makes it even more annoying.
Yeah, that's even better. Love seeing that.
Yep. I for this game, I actually think your teaser route is probably going to be the best line going forward. But it's so hard to take the Pats winning this game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's so hard. Like, where does the offense come from? It's Stevenson? Like, where?
Jacoby
didn't look particularly good.
He didn't look bad, though. He was serviceable. That's what he is, serviceable.
I think that secondary eats him alive, though. That's scary. I maybe the prop bet of like him throwing an interception. If that's minus right now, that's insane.
Yeah.
that's all. All right. Anything more on this game?
No, let's get to Jerry World.
Okay. All right. So we're moving on to Saints Cowboys. So this is in Dallas. The over-under is now currently set at 46.5. It is minus 6 on the Cowboys. Now, this is like, I'm intrigued. So, Hippo, first thoughts, first takes here.
The line's going down. People have been the Saints, but the line's telling you to bet the Saints, which makes me nervous. The line should be at 7.5 because that would tell me to take the Cowboys. So they're trying to make it more enticing to bet on the Cowboys, which means usually you should be placing your money on New Orleans. The thing, though, I think the Cowboys are going to win this game. The Saints had a good week last year. I mean, last week against the Panthers, but Derek Carr is really bad against pressure, and now he has Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence coming to town. The Cowboys secondary, though, I think he might get something to Shaheed or Olave going. And Taysom Hill in the dome, it kind of scares me. But what we saw from Dallas last week in Cleveland against a far superior defense, even though the Saints defense is not something to slouch about, gives me a little bit of worry. I wouldn't touch the line as is. This is another game that I like to tease, and we'll see in my teaser. I think the Cowboys win the game, though. They're at home, even though they play worse at home. They're at home, and Dak and the offense look comparable, and their defense looked really good. I just think they're going to get after Carr, and he's going to make too many of Carr mistakes. He's an average quarterback. Last week, he was really good. Time to turn the boats around and play out the law of averages. He's going to be poor this week, so Cowboys.
Cool. I think this the week one performance is going to be a figment of our imagination. Go like 5 weeks from now, where you'd be like, remember when the Saints absolutely rocked the Panthers? And then you're just gonna be like, remember when? And you're gonna say that over and over again for every opponent that now plays the
Panthers. Yeah, Cowboys should blow them out.
I have a feeling the Cowboys might blow them out in this is an easy contest to say, but you know. I still am not sold on the rushing attack for the Cowboys. I'm not sold on the Saints pass catchers. I have a lot of question marks. The Saints back end did play really well, but I think Bryce Young didn't play well at all. So I don't know how, like, right, what's the display of this? Like, is it actually going to be transferable to the next game? Because CeeDee Lamb is much harder to cover.
Then who, Dan? Xavier Leggett?
Yeah, and Mingo and Thielen. Yeah, and Deontay Johnson.
You know, right, those are all stars. They're writing your name down on a wall in Sharpie right now.
You know, you could shave my name, but I bet they would also reckon that CD may be a little bit better than them.
Currently. I don't know.
All right, I bet they're happy to, you know, they're entitled to their opinion, just like I am, I suppose. All right, any other things about this game? We'll move right along.
Let's move right along. That's a Dallas game.
All right, so here we are. Here we are. We're painting the picture of the Harbor era, right? We had the 1-0 at home against a divisional opponent, which is just awesome. And now we're riding into Carolina, which, by the way, has hurricane winds potentially going. Oh, like, great. Yeah, I don't think it's going to hit during their game, but like right afterwards, like it may happen. So mindful of the weather there. But this is like playing into the narrative where it's like, yeah, we're going to run the ball and we're going to run the ball over and over again. And JK is going to get his due and all that. And like, you know, Herbert will throw some passes, but run the ball. And I think against the Panthers, even in their home opener, I think they're going to run the ball. And I think they're going to probably do well. But so the line is set over under at 39. It is -5 currently to the Chargers, which is a gross number to take. -5. That's
a weird one.
Really weird. Like it was almost like it was -7 and then I got bet down. Like that's how I think of it. Like where would you get to -5 otherwise?
It was at 6 and now it's getting bet down, which means people are taking Carolina.
Yikes.
It's the whole thing of the East Cross trip, kind of like with Seattle, except the Chargers have a running game, which is what you want on the road. And they also have some of the best pairings of tackles, if not the best pair of tackles so far. Joe Alt looked really good. Notre Dame alum. There you go, Notre. And Carolina lost Derek Brown, who's their best interior defender, especially stopping the run. That's really going to hurt. I don't know if it's going to be a Dobbins game. I bet this is when Gus Edwards comes out and scores about 2 touchdowns. The two of them are just going to go back and forth all game, just like they did in Baltimore. I'm rolling with the Chargers here. They're going to play defense. They're going to run the football. And Carolina is where you go to ruin right now. They're completely broken. I don't know how you fix it. I don't want to touch that thing with a 10-foot pole. Just everything from top to bottom is just in ruins, and you have a really, really poor owner, and I don't see it getting any better. I feel bad for Bryce Young, honestly. I just don't see it getting better. But
I feel really bad for him.
Yeah, the Chargers have everything going on, where they have a great coach now who's going to make them win some football games. I'll take the points here, and I'll take the Chargers. I think this run the ball and play defense is good. I also like the under. That's going to run the ball and play defense straight up.
Yeah, I have a feeling that this game is like they're happy to go home with the same score, the 16-10 that we saw with the Bengals and the Pats last week. Like I feel like that would be fine for them, and they'd be content. So
staying on the East Coast, Harbaugh is.
True.
I don't know who they're playing next week, but he's already said we're staying out east. So
good for them. Well, they probably saw the hurricane. They're like, we're not flying back. What the hell?
They're playing board games. They're playing board games then. They're bringing the board games, he said. John Harbaugh is getting deep into risk later on in the evening after a win.
Did you see over the offseason, there was like an informal like interview media hype thing for him and Greg Roman, and they were like hanging out in Harbaugh's like RV, and they were like, "Yeah, I take the RV everywhere." They had matching sets of RVs. I totally think that they're just gonna drive cross country, have someone drive it cross country, and then just hang out with their RVs all week.
No, I'll probably just rent an RV at Carolina. Just make it a survival bunker for the hurricane.
Oh man, that would be too funny. Yeah, I and so the other thing I just wanted to touch on, you touch on it briefly. So I feel really bad for Bryce Young and his development, and how this has really just been atrocious, and he looks like arguably the worst starting quarterback in the league. And now it's like we're rolling into week two of your second season, and you might go the same route that Pickett did, where, you know, by year three, you're a backup on another team. Like, that could be it. They may be up for another number one pick, and they could, like, really weigh their options.
It's
pretty doomer. And so, like, there could be, like, as you said on the other games, there could be a rebalancing, like a coming back to the norms here, you know, a play of averages where, like, they're not as bad as they showed in the last game.
There'll be a pride spot. I just don't. Week two, it's too early for a pride spot. I mean, they did get their butts kicked by 40 points to a division rival, but that's in New Orleans. That stuff is going to happen in Nola in that dome. I don't think against the Chargers they're going to do it. It's just too well coached.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. This game, I am excited for. Yeah, you hate AR. You hate AR. But I really am excited to watch this game. I guess because I am an AR fan now. Who knew? All right, so this is the
we're both Colts the other Packers side, Dan.
Yeah, fair enough. We're playing opposites a little bit this week. All right, so this is Colts Packers. This is in Green Bay, Wisconsin. With cheese. Right now the line is set at 40.5, and the Colts are -2.5 road favorites. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I did not see that line before saying it. Mm. Okay. All right. So we're nearly at a pickle, but oh my God. Now I'm taking back my hype. I don't know what Malik Willis does, but how could this game not go down to like at least as tight as possible?
Give me the Packers and the points. I don't want anything to do. This is the grossest game. Actually, it's not the grossest game, which is even that's saying something. The grossest game is coming up. But there's going to be a poor display of quarterbacking going on here. I want to see each running back run the ball 20-plus times. It's probably going to happen on the Green Bay side, the sprinkling of Emmanuel Willis. Green Bay is out their quarterback, but they're not out the other 21 players that play offense and defense. I think those 21 are – oh, my God, this is such a bad game. Oh. Malik Willis is really bad, people. I don't like to crap on players, if you might have noticed, but He's really bad.
He didn't win the starting job over Mr. Mayo. We talked about that before. This is scary.
Yeah. For my own personal preferences, I just put an X next to this game and didn't really look at it. But I take Green Bay and the points. They're playing at home, and there's value there. And I think Richardson makes a dumb play or two during the game, which gives them good field position. And I like Jacobs in that offensive line. Colts lost one of their quarterbacks, EJ Speed, last week. Maybe that opens something out that LaFleur sees. Outside of that, yeah, I don't want to see Malik Willis in a... Yeah, I don't like this game at all. But give me Green Bay if I had a pick.
I want to see what do they have a completions? Do they have a line for like how many completions he's gonna get?
Yeah, it's under. It should be under passing props. Scroll down. Do you not see it?
No.
Passing touchdown. Yeah, it'd be down after. It'd be under passing yards and not under rushing.
Okay, so they're not good. They're not laying.
Oh wait, that's longest completion.
Yeah,
I know they have it on ESPN.
Okay, so they're at least DraftKings is in playing are because AR completed 9 passes with 18 attempts last week. So like playing that would be hilarious. Yeah, no, I agree. Gross. I just wanted to see what they said it at. what did Vegas decide?
What's your opinions on the game, Dan? You didn't tell us.
No, I think it's just let's run the ball and like AR.
Who do you
is
think
going...
wins? You think the Colts win?
No, I think Green Bay wins. I agree. I think Green Bay is a better team. I think offensively, I think both the head coaches are really well developed offensive minds. Mm-hmm. But I think the back end for the Packers is better than the back end for the Colts. Yeah. And I don't think Malik Willis is particularly good, but I also know LaFleur is really good at scheming up things. Because if I'm not mistaken, we didn't have Love the entire time, and he did elevate the offense, but they won games without him too. So I'm not. Yeah.
I think should probably play, but they're going with Malik, so we'll see what happens. They went and got him for a reason. There's something that LaFleur sees in him that. He's going to implement. I mean, he was only with the team for like a week and a half before he got thrust in at the end of the last game for a play. And he just has looked horrendous with Tennessee, but they also didn't really believe in him either. They got another quarterback the year after he was drafted. So let's see what LaFleur has drawn up because he can draw stuff up. So let's see.
Yeah, exactly. He can draw stuff up. And I also don't think that AR is going to complete every 60-yard bomb that he throws off his back leg.
Yeah,
like, That's not a sustainable practice, no matter what. It's not a sustainable practice.
Him and Carr are coming down, if not this week, in a week soon.
Yep. I think they're on the – they hit a high, and I'm not sure if they're going to continue at that peak.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of peaks and games that have, like, two peak offenses or looking like decent units, we got the Bucs going to Detroit. In this game is set as an over-under of 51, and currently the Lions are set at -7.5. And we just got confirmation that Jameson Williams, who I didn't know was injured and questionable, is going to play tomorrow night, which is just kind of like par for the course. We'll just assume that he's continuously injured.
He sprained his ankle on a Sunday Night Football, but he stayed in, so it's probably just maintenance work.
Gotcha. Good to hear. I'm gonna be contrarian again. Why am I not taking the Bucks? Why would I not take the Bucks here? I think
revenge.
Yes,
divisional matchup, revenge, Dan.
Oh, okay, all right. That's a good narrative I like to play into. What are your initial thoughts? Because I'm kind of swimming on this one.
This is the line I was looking for: New Orleans and Dallas +7.5. Vegas is wanting you to take the Bucks here +7.5. I was like, oh, they can be within a touchdown and they'll win the game. This is Detroit all day, all night. This is one of those tricks that I look for. The -7.5, it goes to Detroit. Both these teams have good run defenses. You have Vita Vea on the other side. Detroit loves to run the ball. And then Detroit has probably the best running game I mean, running defense in all of football. And the Bucs can't really run the football anyway, so they're both going to be trying to pass the ball. They're going to get one-dimensional here. But I think Detroit's offensive line comes into play here, and they will be able to run more than the Bucs can run. And then Amon-Ra had a bad game last week. And if you know anything about Amon-Ra, that's a man possessed. And when he has an agenda, he goes out and achieves it. I would also look at an Amon-Ra prop. Probably, I don't know what the receptions and the yards are going to be, but I take him to score a touchdown, and I take him over his yardage. I think he's going to have a huge game against the Bucs, who lost not one, but two players in their secondary last week. So they're on to some, what is that? 80 plus?
Yeah, 80 plus is minus 130.
Yeah, buddy.
They also expect them to have a massive game.
Yeah, buddy. This is minus 7.5 Lions all day. I'm not locking it into my lock of the week, but I love the Lions here just because they're going to be able to pass it a little bit more than the Bucs are going to be able to pass it, and they're going to be able to run. And Baker also had a great – the defense this week that Baker is facing is not of last week. I think Baker is pretty good. I picked him up in fantasy. I believe in him throughout the year, just not this game. I think this is coming back down to reality a little bit. But don't overreact because the Bucs want to press the ball down the field this year. I think Baker will have a good year. Just Lions. Lions are the second team along with San Francisco and that three teams of the NFC that I was talking about that are just, I think they're on a different par. They're elite. They're an elite team, top to bottom, going with Detroit.
Yeah, and you can also tell just from our anytime touchdown scores that the first four names are getting points, and they're all Detroit players. So they just assume that they're getting a minus money on all of them and not anything else. That's crazy to just make that assumption. So like the outward presenting just at like minus 7.5, kind of, you're right, it is a trap because you would be like, oh,
I'm still trapped.
Right. Yep. And then you look into it and they're like, no, they actually have minus money on everything Detroit-wise. So that I'm into it. That makes complete sense. Good talking that out. I think I'm excited for that game. These two out of the 1 o'clock window is probably my favorite I've ever watched most than anything else. Just because I want to see, does Baker actually look good against a decent defense who was going to play him a lot better than what the Washington Commanders could last week. And for the Lions, I think they can just continuously play really well. Like I that offense cooks. Ben Johnson makes that offense cook. So it's hard to go against them.
Mm-hmm. They just have too much firepower. There's too much.
Yep. Anything else?
No, the next game is also one of those. I got stuff to say about this one.
Great. All right. Let me give the preamble and you go right into it. So this is Jets. Jets at Tennessee. And the over-under is 41 currently and is minus 3.5 to the Jets. Your takes.
This is going to be a good one. I really wish Will Levis wasn't the quarterback of Tennessee, or I'd take him out right here. Tavondre Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons, they made life hell for Caleb Williams. They can wreck a game. And that offensive line for the Jets didn't look up to snuff against San Francisco. I think the Titans can muck it up a little bit. And what we saw last week against the Jets and San Fran is on that first drive, Garrett Wilson was looking unstoppable. He was getting everything. And then San Francisco kind of took him out. And then Aaron Rodgers kind of lost his binky because he doesn't have a receiver yet outside of him, except Mike Williams. People say, what about Alan Lazard? Alan Lazard, Alan Lazard. Well, people, let me tell you something. Alan Lazard got his long touchdown on offside. That's one of Aaron Rodgers' loves. He just got us a free play. I'm going to chuck the ball deep. That play probably wouldn't go to Alan Lazard if it wasn't for that. And the other touchdown for Alan Lazard came from Tyrod Taylor and garbage time, not from Aaron Rodgers. Even though Rodgers does love him some Lazard, it's the only reason why he's on the team. But so Tennessee went out and signed L'Jarius Sneed this offseason. You can take away one guy and one guy only, and that's probably going to be Garrett Wilson. That's going to make life a little bit hectic for Aaron Rodgers in his second game, where people are going to think that the Jets are going to come in here and roll against Tennessee. Tennessee showed me something last week on defense that they're not going to roll over. The only thing with them is Will Levis. Will Levis is going to turn the football over. But after last week where the coach told them if they punted on first down every damn every damn drive, they probably would have won the game. I'm going to go ahead and guess that Tajay Spears is going to get more than his four touches because him and Tony Pollard are going to get 17-plus touches in this game, and they're going to run the football off of a Jets team that couldn't stop the run with Jordan Mason. Now, is that Shanahan's run game? We shall see. But the plus 3.5, this is something that I think this is going to be a field goal game, just over 3.5. They want you to take the Jets here, and I probably would take the Jets here, except I'm too nervous with everything I just stated to take the Jets here, and it's a stay-away game, and I'm really interested to see what happens, because if shit hits the fan and the Jets start off 0-2, what I was saying in our previews and predictions, Robert Saleh's seat is stingily hot. And guess who they play next week, Dan, on Thursday Night Football?
Oh, who do they play, Hippo?
The New England Patriots. And one team could be going for 3-0 while the other goes for 0-3.
That would be wild. If the Pats win, like, they get the divisional tiebreaker on top of, like, being a 3-0 team, or even a 2-1 team. Like, it doesn't matter. That would be crazy. Yeah. And, yeah, Saleh would be out by week 6 if that happened.
This is sneakily a must-win game for the Jets, so I'm interested.
We're week 2, and it's a must-win.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I think the running is going to be the tech. I didn't know that Brian Callahan said that. That is absolutely hilarious. That is a throw your quarterback under the bus and then just go back and forth. Like we're just that's fine.
As damning as it gets.
Oh, so gross. I love that take. Cool. All right. Yeah, I want to see this game. You now made me more hype for this game than I originally was. All right, let's move on.
To the grossest game.
Yeah, no, here is the pinnacle, horrendous game of the week, and it's a pick'em. And it's a pick'em because no one knows. So this is Giants at Commanders, and the game is set at a 43.5 over-under currently. And currently, the Commanders are minus 1.5. Yeah, I'm not with a 10-foot pole. I not for any reason am I playing this game for any reason at all. I'll probably say that for most Giants games this year, but yeah, this one in particular. But you're Jane Daniels fan, and I know he like was kind of talked about this a bit. He was basically a little reckless with his movements last week and threw himself into a lot positions they may not necessarily need to, and got his head, you know, his helmet knocked off multiple times and stuff. And I think this Giants D line is actually probably underappreciated. I would be interesting to see if Jane actually is going to use some passing in this game rather than just relying on his legs for the majority of the work.
We'll see. He'll probably run a lot. He's a running back. No, he actually is. He's a great passer. I love the over in this game. Love the over. Love the over in this game. They even try to make it a little bit higher to make people not want to hit the over in this game. I love it. Neither of these teams can play defense. We saw the Commanders last week. They're not playing defense ever. The Giants in the secondary, they're going to have a hard time going up against the Commanders. I think, as you said, They do have a good front. It's underrated, but that's just going to make Jaden Daniels run more, and they don't have somebody who's going to be able to spy on him. I think Terry has a bounce back game here, and I think Daniel Jones creates a short field with one of his turnovers that is patented. I like the Commanders in the over here a lot. The Giants are a terrible football team. They're not going to win a lot of football games this year. This isn't going to be one of them. Even though the Giants do have the Commanders' number in the history here, not today, not this week. Give me the Commanders. Give me the over. I mean, Brian Robinson even looked pretty good last year. I think they'll be able to run the ball. I don't think either team's going to stop each other. So, give me them. Give me the Commies.
You just think this is going to be an absolute boat race. like the worst type of boat race.
No, because I think Malik Neighbors, The Commanders are going to be able to score points, but their defense is so bad in the secondary that even Daniel Jones is going to be able to get Malik Nabers on, because I think Malik Nabers is going to have a good game here. Even so, I think this is in the 20s for fair, 28-24, something like that, along those lines, mid-20s. So I think the Commies just come and take this one, though. They're at home. Somebody might get – oh, wait, they're at home. Somebody might get drastically injured in the sand pit. I would hate to see Daniel Jones go down with another ACL. It'd be really sad, but I'm just saying, whenever we play at Washington, somebody's tearing an ACL. Could be Jaden, could be Daniel Jones. We'll see. Wait and find out.
Christ. We don't want any injuries of any players, but yeah, I do. Why didn't they fix their field ever? Like, why is this a continual thing? I do
remember.
It's
in the works, Dan. They have a new owner now. It's in the works.
You're right. The new owner group will hopefully do something about this at some point. All right, let's move it. We got Browns going to Jacksonville. This is an over-under set, 41.5, and the Jags are getting -3 here. I don't want to bet on the Browns until they show me life on offense. Period. I just don't want to do it. I think the Jags are going to do okay. They threw away that game last week, and they should have won it. And so
they made me think Miami was better than they actually are. I'm kicking myself still.
Exactly. I think the Jags are actually they could be a little bit of a choke team, and I hope that's not the case. But I actually, if you really look back on the T Law and what he's done, he's choked quite a few games away.
Oh man.
Do you not think so? He's had like
national title winner, S. Tyler Schuster, our good buddy.
Yeah, I know. I'm not knocking him as a player. I'm just saying that there have been many games that they've been up in the first half and they've ended up losing. And for one reason or another.
Yep.
I don't think this is one of those. Yeah. And there's also weather in the vicinity of this game. They have flood warnings all on the state, all through this game. This one is actually through this game. Coastal tidal warnings in Jacksonville. Just something to keep in mind. So my guess is that this is a running game. They saw Tank Bigsby and they saw ATN and they saw them do like fairly well last week. And the Browns, in knowing what Deshaun currently is, showing us quite literally nothing good about everything. And you went on a deep dive tirade on that last week. So I think this is just let's run the ball against each other and play like decent defense. And if I'm looking at these two teams, and one has a more complete defense right now, like the Browns supposedly do, but I think the Jags played really well last week on D. So, yeah, I think this is probably just a low-scoring run game. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Damn, this is my lock of the week. This is Jaguars -3 all day, baby. Jaguars
every time.
-3 lock of the week. Deshaun Watson, he doesn't want to be playing football. You just told me there might be some tidal waves coming in. He really doesn't want to be playing football. Cleveland's hurt on the tackles. Both their tackles are hurt. And Jaguars coming into town. Ryan Nielsen loves a blitz. And they have Trayvon Walker, former first-round pick, and Josh Allen on their ends. They're coming to town. Deshaun Watson, and you hold on to the football way too long. Jacksonville did lose Tyson Campbell, but I'm not too worried about that because I think the Browns are on quit watch. I think those – if they have another bad loss here in Florida and these bad conditions after what the Cowboys did to them, they are in hot water. Jacksonville is going to come out and run the football. They're going to be able to pass the football. I love the Browns defense. I do. But there's just something. I think they're going to get a short field here and there. And the ineptitude of Deshaun Watson is what scares me off of Cleveland and makes me love Jacksonville. You threw a game away last week. They should have been up 24-7 on Miami. They should have walked away with that game. They didn't. They got a little sour taste in their mouth. I think they answer well. The other team, they got beat, and I think they're going to take it. I just don't like the chemistry, the psychology around anything in Cleveland. Miles Garrett's going to play in this game, but he picked up a little injury. That's not going to faze him. He's a psycho, but I am really worried about Cleveland, and I think they're going to fall apart in the coming weeks.
All right, so here we go. Prop bet. If The Browns go 0-2. Jets go 0-2. And we're going into week three. You have to place a bet. Sala or Stefanski? Which one is which one's out first? What's your hot take?
It'd be Sala or Deshaun Watson. They scapegoat Deshaun Watson before they get rid of their boy wonder. He's taking them to the playoffs. But I guess I go Sala because Watson's fully guaranteed. They're just stuck with him. Unless this poor woman gets her claim of what I guess I can't say it.
No, let's not go down there.
And there's video. That's the only way to get out of this.
Then all the money gets voided, and you can boot him immediately. How quick do they clean out his locker? Like, if that goes through, like, is it within the hour? Within, you know, a day? I'm going to go closer to the hour. I'm pretty sure everything's gone immediately.
Jameis Winston goes in there and grabs him by the pussy and takes him right out of the locker room.
But that.
And that's full circle. That's what we call full circle in the business.
Man, Jameson should be starting on a team at this point.
Yes, we'll be starting on a team soon.
I hope he is. I hope, you know, I don't hope anything. I hope he gets his playing time because I think he's a really fun player to watch.
Yeah. No, this team would be a lot better with Jameis.
Mm-hmm. You know who would be really good on this team? Baker.
No. Get that out of here.
I love
Amari Cooper's dad would be coming down with the YouTube clips telling him how he can't throw him the ball.
I remember that whole narrative. I remember that whole thing. That was insane. People are kind of nuts around this type of stuff. I'm not gonna lie.
No.
The side-to-side comparison of like games played of Deshaun versus Baker within the Browns offense, and like Baker has winning on every single step imaginable is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move it. Into our 4 o'clock slate of the first.
Need to grab my phone real quick, Dan.
Yeah, we're running up into time right here. You gotta get to the Georgia game. All right, so the preamble.
I just need to pull up the score. I have $1,000 on them.
Fair enough. All right, so it is Rams Cardinals. We got an over under of 48 set, and it's a 100% a pick'em. And the Cards are getting -1 at home for their home opener after a very tight game against the Bills in away. And the Rams again played a tight game themselves but lost Puka. There's a lot of question marks on this. I think there's two games that I have like eyed on for this 4 o'clock slate. I know there's only four games, but two of them look awesome. And I'm not gonna even watch the other two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's my thought.
Oh, there's only three games then. They did 11 in the 1 o'clock and 3 in the 4.
Well, I guess I'll put all of them on my multi-box red zone, but that's fine. I think this game is going to be great. I am so excited for this game to be potentially really high scoring.
Dan.
Yep, here we go. Give me your opposite take.
It's the under. The under's hitting, Dan. Damn, the under's hitting.
Okay, all right. Talk me into it.
You got the Rams, you got the Cardinals. They're going to throw the ball around, right? They got two high fast-paced offenses, right? Wrong. Tricked you. The Rams last week faced against the number one rush defense. I'll tell them they're top five this year. Last year they finished as number one, but number five, Detroit Lions. They didn't run the ball with Kyron Williams at all. Sean McVay loves to run the football. He likes to run the ball with Kyron Williams. Even Blake Cormel should get some playing time this week. Arizona. They went into Buffalo last week, and they started off pretty hot. But they love to run the ball with James Conner. Both these teams love to pound the football. And they pretty much scored about 20 points each last week. The Cardinals, they had to get a kick return touchdown to actually boost their points a little bit. I'm not counting on a kick return touchdown, but you never know. Special teams touchdowns can happen. I think this is a hard-fought game. Both these teams need this. It's a divisional game. They both started off 0-1. They both played pretty good teams in week one, and they stuck with them. I was really impressed with the Rams on the road sticking with the Lions, who I think are a top three team. The Cardinals hung around with the Bills, and then I thought they got a little timid in their play calling and didn't really go for it all. I just thought they started playing with their food a little bit. Bills came roaring right back, and once you get out of your rhythm, you can't really get back into it, which ended up costing them the game. This is a close one to pick who wins the game. I think the under hits is because it's a divisional matchup, and they both love to run the football here, and I think there's going to be a field goal or two because they're going to be so high intense on the defensive side. I want to go with the Rams, but Arizona is at home. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals, which pains me, but I think the Cardinals do win this one. And I think Marvin Harrison comes into his own also in this game and scores a touchdown. But yeah, this is a good one. This is a damn good one.
Yeah, I'm just excited to watch it.
Absolutely.
I think we both have eyed on this one as just being like a really fun game to watch. I'm not entirely sure who's going to come out on top, but
yeah, it's a tough. Yeah, either team can. I'm not surprised either way, but
right.
I'm picking one. I'm picking the Cardinals. They're at home, and I think they have a little bit more firepower with Kyler because Stafford, he's really good. He brought them all the way back, but I think Kyler can just pull a rabbit out of his hat, which might make the difference. I don't know.
Okay, let's go right into the matchup that everyone and their mother is talking about. Taylor Swift's talking about it. Quite literally everyone in the world is thinking about this game going into the Sunday slate, which is just hilarious, but also, I guess, thought-provoking. All right, we got Bengals going to Kansas City, the reigning Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs. This is set at a 48. Yeah, set 48 over under, and the Chiefs are getting -6, which I'm kind of surprised at. I'm surprised it's not -7.5, but that's probably where I would set this line, to be quite honest. The Bengals were, you know, we expect the Bengals to step back up going into week two. We didn't expect them to be that poor going into week one, right? And so if we're playing averages, they're going to come back to the norm. And also the narrative of like Joe Burrow plays his best football when he plays against Patrick Mahomes. I think that's like more of like a competitor spirit. Same thing with like Josh Allen. They all see him as like, I need to play my absolute best football in order to beat this guy. And they kind of step up to the plate for that. So I'm excited to watch that back and forth, utilizing, you know, Chase quite a bit, I imagine. And then, you know, whatever amalgamation of accessory offensive players that we can put together to generate some points on the Bengals side. But Chiefs, I how do you not say the Chiefs are going to win a game? I think if you just laid money that they're going to win more than they lose, then you win money every like on the majority of it. What's your thoughts? What's your? I have a feeling you got a good take.
Oh, I do. So, Cam Britt Taylor coming out to the media. Let's talk to the media after we just lost to the New England Patriots at home. Idea good? No. Let's say Xavier Worthy can only do one thing. Let's poke the bear. This is a Chiefs in the route. Big route. I'm taking this double digit. I'm going alternate spread. Big, big route. The Bengals just don't have it right now. They're going to drop to 0-2, and this is going to be one of those teams that are going to come along at the end of the year. They just don't have it right now. And it starts with Joey Burrow. I'm sad. T. Higgins isn't playing in this game either. That's another big factor. And the line opened at -5, which I'm with you. I thought this line would have opened at -7, but there's going to be beliefs with the Bengals and what they do. The Bengals couldn't run the football last week, and they abandoned it pretty quickly. And Christian Barmore didn't play for the Patriots, and they had a bunch of just good players in there. Chris Jones is playing this time around. He's going to mess up that run game. He's going to make Cincinnati one-dimensional, and one-dimensional they do not want to be when they only have one of their elite receivers out there. Joe Burrow is checking it down. Something's off with Joe Burrow. I was looking at the tape again. I don't think he's hurt. But something is off. I don't know if him and Jamar are mad at each other for what's going on. Jamar, I don't know. Something is off. I don't want to make a speculation about it. I'm not in their camp. But something is wrong with the Bengals offense. They're coming into Kansas City, hardest place to play. They've hit the hornet's nest. That defense isn't anything to write home about. Mahomes will want to make a point because he's playing against Joe Burrow, calling it Burrowhead. That's going to stick with you for the rest of your career, Joe. The Bengals are going to come along strong at the end, but this is a classic. They're going 0-2. Everybody's going to start being like, but T. Higgins will come back. They'll come into their own. Joe Burrow's going to get better as the year comes along. He usually does that every single year. He starts off slow, he gets better. If this matchup was in week 10, say, I would have different opinions on the game. It's in week 2. The Bengals are still finding themselves and they're drastically lost in the forest. And the big bad wolf is Patrick Mahomes, and he's coming to eat you and your grandmother.
Perfect.
Little Red
Perfect.
Riding Hood.
I need the logic, the song by Logic called Perfect, and I need that sound drop to be able to play Perfect. That's it. That's it. Yeah, no, I'm all for it. I'm all with you on that. I love the idea of like doing alternative spread and making that even wider gap for the Chiefs. I think that is a heady play, if anything. All
Yep.
right. That'll be a game I'll watch. We'll watch that very intently, and we'll be able to review it a little bit further, because I think that 0-2 take is more probable than not, because I don't you again I can't bet against Patrick Mahomes not doing something crazy. All right, let's go into a completely different game that I'm not excited for.
Oh, 36 and a half doesn't get it going.
36 and a half. All right, so this is the Chiefs going to Denver. The over-under is set at 36 and a half, the lowest set of the entire week. The Steelers are getting minus 2.5 at in Denver. What do you this is I'm not a 10 foot pole personally. I think it's just or I'm just taking Steelers money line and I'm not going to think about it or have any interest in watching this.
Love the Steelers. Favorite play of the 4 o'clock window. Steelers minus 2.5. Kenneth Walker just destroyed Denver. Pittsburgh just wants to run the football with Arthur Smith. They even have a quarterback who wants to run. Denver's at home this time. Yay, let's give them that mile high. Maybe somebody will have, what's it called, that sickle cell on Pittsburgh, and they won't be able to play. I don't think so. I think Pittsburgh's defense is top five in the league. I think they're a little bit better than the Seahawks. You just struggled against the Seahawks. Pittsburgh comes to town. Pittsburgh just played Atlanta. Depending on how bad Kirk Cousins actually is, I think he's still a better quarterback than Bo Nix and what Denver has going for them, especially with Bijan and company. Javonte looks poor. I mean, Jaleel McLaughlin as well. They look all right. What, Jaleel had 5 catches for 1 yard last week. Pittsburgh defense is just, they're just too good to, I mean, not to beat up on them. I feel bad. I said this yesterday. I feel bad for Bo Nix facing the Seahawks defense in Seattle. Then you get to have your home opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers and TJ Watt and all the bad men on their sideline. So I think the Steelers win this game. They start off 2-0. They're just going to be able to run the football and they're going to be able to play defense, which is what they love doing. Just another team like that, just like the Chargers. I think on the road they're going to be able to implement that, and it's going to be a big win for them. Steelers.
Yep, there we go. Let's move right along. Let's go into the Sunday night game. Bears Texans in Houston. Over under set at 45 and a half. The Texans are getting minus 6.5, so under a touchdown right now. Okay.
How the
Okay.
Texans not do it, Dan?
I don't know. Unless like all the lights turn on and Caleb Williams looks like the quarterback we originally predicted and everyone was like generational talent in week two, which would be again unprecedented, but then again, generational talent, maybe it actually does happen, but I don't bet on it. I don't know how the Bears win this game. I don't know. And like there's a lot of hype train behind the Bears defense doing really well, but like we saw him against Will Levis, and both of us agree, like, we're now Will Levis bottom five quarterback, starting quarterback currently. We're not gonna take that to the bank and say that's projectable against CJ Stroud, who looked, like I said, I wanted to see him take the hype from the end of that season, walk it right into week one and look the same. And he did that to a T and led his team to a really good win over a divisional rival. And I don't see how that defense gets on par with everything else. I'm sorry. And like, they have great pieces. Sweat, Jalen Johnson. They have another corner that I really like who I'm blanking on their name. But like, they have good pieces on that defense. I just don't think they have enough to cover what the Texans are going to do to them at home, too.
Yep. I'm with you, Dan. All that said.
Oh, God.
This is a sharp play. If you're a sharp, this is +6.5 Bears all day, every day. I'm not touching that. I'm not doing that. I just have to go Houston here. This is one of those games. You got three games. You got the Chiefs game, the Houston game, and then the Eagles game. They all got that 6-point spread with the dominant team at home. This is the only one I want to tease because it's you got to take +6.5 with the Bears. You just have to, and I don't know why. Kyler Gordon was the other corner you're talking about. Ball game win in the preseason. Really good nickelback. I don't know how the Bears do it. I don't know how they do it, but I've seen this time and time again. The Bears will cover 6.5 points. I don't know if they'll even win the game, but they'll cover 6.5 points. It'll probably be like 21-17 or something like that, something ugly like that. They just have a really good defense, maybe, and that's going to keep them in the game. I don't know, Dan. I just don't know. I don't think the Texans won't be able to run because the Texans are even at home. Texans won't be able to run the ball as well as they did against the Colts. They only beat the Colts by 2 points, and the Colts might be a bottom half team. From my retrospect, I think, and I still, Caleb Williams comes out. He only has one receiver. He can hyper target him. Maybe Swift gets some action in the screen game. I don't know how they do it, but all I know in my gambling days is +6.5 is the play to hit here. I'm not touching it. I'm not taking it. But at the end of the day, I just know in my heart of hearts, +6.5 is the play. I don't know. I don't know, people. This is one of those games. I don't know, but it's going to hit.
So you're going to lay that $1 just so you have the novelty of like being like, yes, I was correct with laying that points.
No, I like my dollar, though.
Like the $1.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know about the Sunday night game. I mean, like, I'm going to be excited to watch it, but other than that, I'm not going to do anything else.
Keep my dollar bills in Ziploc bags, Dan.
Jesus Christ. Oh, we're a podcast, thankfully enough. All right, gang. This goes into our last game for the week two slate, our Monday night game, bird on bird action. We got the Falcons going to the Eagles for not technically their home opener because technically they're a home team in Brazil, but the real home opener in one of the most chaotic fan environments that there is in the NFL by far. This over-under set at 47 currently, and the Eagles are getting -6. Again, as Hippo said, the narrative of these teams getting -6 at their home games, and we expect to essentially win them. This is another one where if we're talking about how the Bears win their game, how the hell do the Falcons win this game? I watched a multiple practice tape of Kirk this week, and he looks like he's running in molasses. Like, he's doing his dropbacks, and he just – there's no sort of agility attached to his movements. He looks like he's, like, moving the boat around to be able to get into these dropbacks. And it's going to help them that they're just probably going to be in shotgun again the entire time. But I don't know how Jalen Carter doesn't dominate. I guess the only thing that could potentially – I guess there's two key factors I think they could win this game from, if I'm speaking the narrative. If they get Drake London hot and get him actually working, that's one of the things, because I think he can actually beat the DBs. Like, he can put that rookie to rest or what have you. I think there's actually a play there. Or Bijan gets absolutely fed, and for some reason they run away again. They just check into runs to the opposite direction of Jalen Carter every single play, and that's the effect of this. So, like, those two in combination are the only things, but I see that Eagles offense just doing real work, like we saw them do in week one.
Mm-hmm. AJ Brown is out. I don't think he's going to play.
I think he was questionable last time I checked. Is he officially out?
In my mind, picking up a hamstring injury in practice, kind of like what we saw with T. Higgins when he first got his hamstring injury. That's not a good sign to see. If you pick up a hammy in practice 2 days before the game, you probably strained it a little bit. I'm nervous about him, especially when the coach says, we'll see. He's not giving you affirmation there. He's pretty much putting you in limbo, which I'm going to go towards the negative side there. That could make it somewhat interesting if they don't have AJ Brown, because he's one of their horses. But what you were saying with Kirk, he's done. Kirk is done. I'm here to pronounce Kirk is done. If you like Michael Penix, go pick him up in fantasy, everybody. I'm making a declaration. I'm putting a future on Michael Penix to win Rookie of the Year. Michael Penix season is soon to be here. The Falcons are going to lose this game. Falcons are going to lose this game by more than 6 points. Take the -6 because Kirk Cousins is going to be trying to run away from Jalen Carter, who's a bigger man than T.J. Watt. he's gonna be eating some Kirk Cousins wings for dinner. They still have Saquon. They're going to run the football. I mean, the Eagles still have enough firepower where I think they're going to get the win, and I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to be able to pass on the Eagles, which is their only Achilles heel, is that secondary, because Kirk Cousins is not fully healed. I don't know if he'll ever be healed. The mobility just is not there. So if they can – oh, wait, they're playing Vic Fangio. He doesn't like to call up some blitzes, does he? He's going to try and move him off the spot, and guess what? That man doesn't have any mobility. I'm buying Michael Penix stock. I'm selling the Falcons here. Eagles in a rout.
Game, set, and match. All right, that's the entirety of the week two slate. So then we get into all of the parlays, the individual bets, all the things that Hippo is taking across the league. And so just so you guys are aware, feel free to follow us on Twitter. We'll be posting this bet there so you'll be able to see it and follow along. We won't just say it on the podcast. But Hippo, let's get started.
Why is Brock Vandegrift 3-for-3 and Carson Beck 0-for-2? What's going on here, Dan?
Well, let's get this done quick, and then we'll go right into Georgia. Don't
Brock Vandegrift backed up Carson Beck last year and couldn't sniff the field. He stinks.
Yes.
Okay, my 1 o'clock teaser parlay, what everybody's been waiting for. What have I cooked up this week for all of you lovely fans? And guess what? Our viewership was up 5 viewers from last week, Dan. I forgot to tell you that. 5 extra viewers viewed us last week than they did the week previously. So we are on the up and up. All right, first off, where are we headed first off? We're going to a place that's in a dome. Any guesses, Dan? Where are we going in a little dome house?
I have a feeling it's in Dallas. If I'm not
mistaken. Yeah, we're going to Dallas. We're going to Jerry World. And as I was saying previously, that line's should be a little bit high, but I love Dallas here. We could make that a 0.5, but let's make it -3. Let's get a little cocky with our first one. Our only loss last week was the Bengals -3 at home, and that costs us. But let's do it again with the Cowboys. Yeah, let's go -3 with the Cowboys to start things off.
Okay, where are we going to next?
Okay, next we're going to an East Coast team that might be getting some hurricanes. We're going to the Chargers. And are we going with the Chargers? Are we going with the Chargers? There we go. Yeah, we are. We're going with the Chargers. Just give them money line. We don't even have to do the whole 6-point swing-a-rooney. And this is a double dip because we're going with the under 2. Give me under 45. No, Dan, under 45. We need to alt line that. We're doing teasy.
Oh, geez. Game lines. Alternative under 40.
45. Thank you, Daniel.
You're most welcome.
All right. And next, we're going back. We're going to another dome this time around. And this team wants some revenge. It's San Francisco, and it's money line in them because they're only 4.5. And when I did this, they were -6. So I like that even more. Wow, we're getting some good. We don't even have to have the full 6-point tees in all this. All right. And then next, we're going with my lock of the week two, but of the 1 o'clock slate, we're going Jacksonville money line. That gives us 5. And I got 2 more left for you. Silly. This last one.
Okay, we're good.
All right, this one I was going back and forth. I'm going between the Jets in Tennessee and Seattle, New England. Which one do I like more? Which side do I like more? Because I was looking at Tennessee and I was also looking at New England. I ended up deciding on, we're going with New England +9, Dan. New England +9.
Jeez.
Putting it in there. I really wanted to go with Tennessee, but they have this guy named Will Levis, and I can't put my hard-earned money and your hard-earned money on Will Levis.
One second.
You're good.
New England +9 in here. Okay.
New England +9. What does that give us, Dan, so far?
I have to redo one of them. So I'll do it at the end.
Keep going. All right. And for our last one, and not final one, we're going to another dome. We're going Detroit -3 to cap this one off. Detroit, I just think they have too much firepower. I hope this is a good game, but I don't think it's going to be. Detroit's going to put their willpower down. And, it's going to be a wrap. So that's a little 7-play. 7 plays? Is that what's
up? Yep. 1, 2, 3. I'm going to have to redo the Chargers one. Give me 1 second.
What are you going to do with the Chargers?
I have to make it a same game parlay.
Oh, no, I get you. Yep, yeah. We ran into that problem last time, too.
Yep, exactly. All right, so same game parlay. What do we have here? We had...
We have the Chargers money line, and then... Can we even do a Chargers money line?
We should be able to. Yep, Chargers money line.
And then we have an under 45.
The under on this.
Total
under 45. That's the under, right? Yes. Okay.
There we go.
1271.
Another +1271. And with that's your hard earned money, you want to put $25 down at $20 on that, you probably get a hefty return. It's several hundred dollars back, all in one slate of football.
So I'll take a screenshot of that. This is the bets. Okay.
My internet getting funky now?
No, you're good.
Oh, it just gave me a little notice that I'm recently poor stability with my internet, huh?
No, I think you're fine. Sorry, gang.
Sorry. There we go, Carson. There we go.
And we're putting this hippo PM. And save. Okay, got that one saved.
There we go.
Where are we going to next, Hippo? Is this our entirety, or we want to do any 4 p.m.s?
We can do another one for the late slate if you want.
Yeah, I'm in. How about we do one for the late slate? All right. So yeah, clear all. Okay. Let's
do it. All right. Late night, 4 o'clock. We're going into the second half of the night. We're going with an under, Dan. We're going it. Like I was saying before, we're going to push that up to 54, and we're going under.
Rams Cardinals under 54?
That's right, sir. Please and thank you.
Got it. Okay, where to next? All right.
Next, We're going down one more slot. I'm just going to take this as is because I like it too much. -2.5 with the Steelers. And then we're going KC. I don't even have to switch the line that either, but I'll do KC -3 just because I have to make it a little teaser parlay. Okay. Be the one instant of a teaser where you push it the other direction.
Yeah.
I'll be fair.
Make it tighter.
And we won't end there. No, there is more. We'll add in the primetime games. We'll add in, I guess that's Philadelphia Moneyline.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Now I have to make a call on this. We push it to +12.5. Damn. What is that so far? What is that? Okay, that's a 4 for +447. That's not bad.
No, that's not good.
I would leave it at that. But since I'm a man of integrity, no, I'm leaving it as that. I'm not touching that other game, even though I would go +12.5. Okay, the only thing I have to say about the Chicago Texans game. If Chicago got totally blown up by the interior of Tennessee, and that's the one aspect of Houston's defense that isn't completely elite, is their interior. They have good bookends on their defensive ends. I don't know if somebody's going to be in Caleb Williams' lap all game, making him very flustered. I think he can stay in that pocket and find the right reads. I'm not totally sure. Waldron can draw up the plays that he needs because I don't want him as his OC, but that's the OC he has. I don't know. That's the best I got for you guys. The +6.5 is just, that's just a gut call. That's my amygdala talking to you all.
Okay, so +6.5. You said +12.5, so I wanted to be sure you meant +6.5.
No, I'm just talking about the game. We're not putting in the teaser. Because if we put in the teaser, it'd be +12.5. But no, we're not even doing it. We're just going with those four.
Okay, done.
Done. Signed, sealed, and delivered.
All right. We'll take a screenshot.
Click, click. God damn. This Georgia game.
Yeah, we'll get you out of here. Don't worry. No,
I have to. I'm used to just looking at my clock anyway. It's 0-0, though. I don't know what's going on here.
Well, I think that does it for us for today. We hit on recap, Sunday slate. We did our bets. We did our parlay. Feel free to tail us. I'm at FFRichKid on Twitter. Hippo is at Hippo_ball on Twitter. Feel free to give us a follow. Hippo does all of the, as you can hear, all of the college games as well. And so doing lines and graphics on that, Hippo's a great follow for all that type of information. So please, please look up Hippo. Otherwise, I think that has us for this week. Any last thoughts?
Go Dogs. Woof, woof. Ugga, ugga.
And with that, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks, all.
Peace out.